can sing words quite easily, can't we? We can make statements of praise and thanksgiving quite easily. We can follow the liturgy of the church. We can participate in all of these wonderful, familiar words. And yet there's a difference, isn't there, between those statements, between those things that we would declare, even in our singing, no work too hard for him, and feeling that, understanding it, holding on to it as an absolute truth within our heart and within our faith. There's a difference between those two things, isn't there? Because we can easily sing a song like Be Still, such a familiar, a comforting song, a song that's been around for decades now. And it's easy to sing those words with their familiarity, and yet we say a line like, no work too hard for him. Do we feel that? Do we sense that within our core being, and are we able to say, there is no work too hard for you, God? Is that an absolute statement of your faith? I think sometimes we need to concentrate on what we're singing and what we're saying. We need to spend time dwelling upon these things. And it's no accident this morning that that's part of this song that I bring to you this morning, this psalm. Not all of the psalms are songs. Many of them are wonderful, wonderful prayers. But in this case, it's absolutely a song that has its own refrain, its own underlining message that we hold on to, that we bring. A psalm divided into three sections, not only by a confident word, a particular word which we'll come to, but also by a mysterious word in the Hebrew which tells us sort of the divisions, probably about how it would have been sung. A mysterious word, selah. Nobody knows what it means, actually. Nobody does. It's just one of those untranslatable words that we assume is just something musical as a direction for its use within temple worship, perhaps, or something like that. I've been thinking about the ways in which God speaks to us and guides us over previous weeks. It just seems to be something that's come up more recently. And I spoke last week about wait upon the Lord. That was the thing that was on my heart last week. And I feel that this sermon is actually very much connected to that. It's a follow-on in some ways. I was drawn to this line, be still, and know that I am God. And I think this morning most of us perhaps would have a concept of the contemplative prayer, the songs with which we're familiar that use this line, that particularly familiar song, Be Still and Know That I Am God, Be Still and Know That I Am God. A song that we sing regularly here, but I chose not to sing this morning just because. But we're familiar with that as a concept. We're familiar with the concept of that quiet and lonely place that Claire led us to think about, that place where the need for us, really, to step out into those quiet places, to spend time with the Lord, to be stilled, to be at peace with the Lord, to receive him in that way. And I began reading a little bit about these, trying to look at the places where we're encouraged to be still in the Bible, and came across a couple of references in the Psalms where that particular phrase is used. There's also another one at the end of Zechariah where there's a particularly not different understanding of be still, but it's perhaps not the one that we have in our mind. I think the line here is, I'm not saying it's taken out of context, but I think it comes just in a different place. And I want to just explore that this morning because I think it's helpful in understanding what it means to be still and know that he is God. We begin with familiar words, and again, you might recognize this psalm from another hymn, which we're not going to sing this morning. Immediately, we have the bottom line of the theme. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And this comes as a statement at the beginning. Here is a bold statement that God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. If we take the context or the possible context of this psalm, depending on where it comes in the chronology, which is quite hard to know for definite, It's thought, I'm told, that this is a psalm that was brought to God's people in a period of exile. A period where God's people were consumed by another nation. A period for God's people where they were effectively slaves within a new land, and eventually those slaves were just consumed into normal society. A period of exile. Just think about that. Think about what that means and how we might then receive these first words. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. How much more does this become a challenge? Because if you are one of those in slavery, if you are one of those who have been isolated within an unknown land, if you have been taken away from your family, if you've been taken away from the context of the temple and God's worship in that place, if you've been effectively pulled away from all that's familiar, that you've been consumed into a society that speaks a different language, a society that speaks a different faith, a society that speaks all of these different things. Look at how powerful then this line is. Look at how powerful this statement is then to those people. God in that context is still my refuge and my strength and ever-present help in trouble. Though I can't see the things that have held me secure in the past, though I've been isolated from the things that I know to be true and right and good, though I can't see this tremendous city of Jerusalem, though I know that I'm a long way from home, God is our refuge and our strength and an ever-present help in trouble. Doesn't that lift it up immediately, this bold statement of praise? And then comes the response. Therefore, we will not fear. Because here is something that's, it's either true or it's not. If it is true that God is with us, if it's true that God is here in my context, whether that be in a place of exile or whether that be in a place of here and now this morning, God is our refuge and strength. Therefore, we will not fear. It's because God is with us that we will not fear. It's because God is here that we will not fear. You see, the psalmist understands quite intimately the dangers in life. The psalmist understands the things that threaten us, and he paints it in his own language, but I think we can put our own language somewhere into this context. He sees the threat of nature and the threat of humanity. Now, in terms of the threat of nature, I think we could see this in a whole load of different ways. Creation itself is, in one sense, a threatening place. We can get stung. That's probably the greatest risk for you here this morning, is that there might be a wasp. I don't think that there is, but I'll try and warn you if I see one. There's a threat of nature. The heat itself could cause us a threat this morning. But in nature, there are all sorts of risky places, aren't there? And in that context where perhaps they understood less about nature, it was an even more risky place. It's no accident, we spoke about this last week, that water itself is a picture of a great place of fear for God's people, because it just wasn't understood. It was a place of darkness, it was a place of isolation, it was just a place of risk. But look at what the psalmist says, understanding this threat of nature. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of sea. Bear in mind that the mountains were thought to hold up the heavens in some of those contexts. The mountains fall into the heart of sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. We won't fear that. We won't fear any threat from nature in that way. Why? Because God is with us. He's ever present. He's not going to let me know. He is the strength that I need so that this thing cannot threaten me. There is nothing in nature that can threaten me. And it can broaden that to your understanding of how we would take into nature illness. That can't threaten me. I will not fear illness because God is with me. Psalmist carries on. It's our first little stanza, our first little bit of song. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. I love this little switch. There's a beautiful picture here. Because in this sort of first verse, the first stanza, the psalmist's painting this picture as the sea and water as this threatening place, this thing to be feared, and it's because it's not understood, this thing that just threatens me, that the sea is threatening. And yet, look at this little switch. The psalmist now is pointing to a living water which comes from this source, because water is all of those things. It is a risky place, isn't it? When you're in a little dinghy in the middle of a great roaring sea, you're going to feel threatened. But when you're thirsty, water's your friend. And that's the switch that the psalmist makes here for us. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Here is living water which pours out from the heart of the city of God. This is living water. It's that picture of the Holy Spirit, perhaps, even in this language. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. And so we're finding this threat of nature and humanity coming together. God is within that holy place. We have this picture of the city of God, which is a safe place. A picture which transcends a physical reality and becomes a reality of faith for us, because within the city of God, we are safe. The picture I had here, and it's underlined by this next line, the Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. It's underlined that we are safe when we are in the presence of God. We are safe when we know that God is with us. And how safe are we? Well, first of all, we're in the context of a city. And it's a city that has walls. And in a city with walls, I feel pretty safe. If I'm standing in the middle of that city, I'm going to feel pretty safe. But not only are we kept safe by this city with great big walls that's on a hill itself, it's this picture of Jerusalem. Not only are we safe in that place, but we're in the middle of God's temple, that holy place. So we've got this great big temple surrounding us as well. And we're safe, even safer, because that's the very place that God dwells. So when it feels like the whole world's attacking us, and it does sometimes, don't you feel surrounded sometimes? Doesn't it feel like the whole world is just chaos and going against you? Doesn't it feel like that? What the psalmist's pointing towards here is that you are right in the middle of the safest place within the safest place. Because it doesn't matter the strength of the horde around the city. If you're alone in that place, in that safe place, within all of those walls, how can they get you? How can these hordes ravage you? How can you even be at threat? You cannot. Because the Lord Almighty is with you. The God of Jacob is your fortress. And it's a place from which living water flows. It's not that it's a lonely and an isolated place. It's a place where you will be nourished and fed. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The threat of the nations is real for God's people. The threat of all that would take us over, the threat of these powers. powers fighting and fighting, and that leads us nicely connected into the next section. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. The world's constantly in a power struggle, isn't it? And actually, I think there's no clearer period in my own lifetime where this has been the case. To be partisan or conciliatory in this age seems to have become a place of great weakness, and the middle ground seems to have lost its credibility at the moment. And it's all because of power. It's because of one and another fighting for this power, for authority. We've begun to fear institutions that centralize power because we fear there might be too much power, but effectively we're saying we want power. Whatever the case, power is a big deal, and in the international climate, it's a big deal, and the local climate, power is at the heart of war, ruling and subjugation. Though some may make a claim for war as liberation, surely it's just an exchange of power in one sense. But in these days of kingdoms and conquerors, the transaction was ever more clear than these dumbfounding days. I, as king, usurp you as ruler and king to gain more power, and in the eyes of God, this is futility. Because God's power is not affected by the war for power in humanity. That God has declared his victory from the very beginning because he created, because he has authority, he has strength, he will not be defeated. You can war all you like for struggling with power in one sense or another. You can try and bring people into your control and authority, but ultimately God wins. God has won. In declaring his power over death, there could be no greater declaration of his strength. God has won that victory. It should be absolutely clear in our mind. And therefore, other struggles are futile. And this is the psalmist putting this in context. Bear in mind that this is a psalmist speaking within the context of warring nations. If this psalm was written in that place of exile, this is somebody speaking from a place of absolute weakness, somebody who had been subjugated and brought into slavery. And it was he that's saying, look, this is futile. You can take away everything around me. You can strip me of my home and everything that's familiar. You can take me away from all that I know in terms of my God, but ultimately you cannot take my God away from me. That here is a bottom line that says, God has won that victory. You can't take him away from me. And he has power and authority, and he has won. He says, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. You see the context within which these words come? It's not a place of quiet contemplation, is it? It's not leading us into this beautiful place of solitary Christian meditation. It's not God leading us into that place and saying, go into that quiet and lonely place and draw yourself upon my peace. Though that's utterly valid. But isn't that the context that we always use these words? But I just want to introduce the thought this morning about the context of these words, and actually the other reference in Psalm 37, where it talks about be still and know God in that way. Again, it's the same context. The end of Zechariah 2, there's another context here that talks about being still before God. And do you know the context? It's in the context of God's power and might and his strength and authority here on earth. It's not about that place of quiet contemplation. I'm not saying that's invalid. I really am not. But the places in which the Bible leads us to this phrase, be still, is this place of reverence for God because we know his power and might. It's what the Bible calls fear of the Lord, which is just another way of saying ultimate reverence. It's not that you're scared, but it sort of is that you're a little bit wary of God because of the power that he possesses. I think sometimes we create a picture in our mind of a God who is too gentle. This feels hard to say, and I don't want you to misunderstand me. That perhaps we get too cozy with God and forget that he has absolute authority, that it was at his hands that stars were flung into space, that he has power on an atomic level, that he knows you and understands you, that you are completely exposed before him. But he still does love you. He still has that beautiful and gentle care for you. It's both of those things. But understand this context of be still. The passage at the end of Zechariah 2, which I won't go into today, talks about the lion of Judah prowling around. Be still, because there's a lion on the loose. Now, I think we understand that imagery, don't we? We understand the imagery of feeling, blimey, there's a great big... I'm going to be still because I want to recognize that there is a power here that I can't overcome. There's a power and an authority that I can't push that lion over. That lion is going to push me over. And that's the context here that the psalmist writes out of. He's saying, be still, because God is in control. Be still and understand that you are in a place of strength. Be still and understand that the Lord Almighty is with you. Be still and know that you are within a fortress and God is your fortress. Be still. So when you feel weak, when you feel surrounded, understand that the Lord Almighty is with you. That the God of Jacob is your fortress. Amen. Let's pray. Father, for any here who feel surrounded this morning, who feel isolated, Father, I pray that you would convince each one of your presence here this morning. That you would let each of us know that you are here with us, that the Lord Almighty is with us. That there is no work too hard for you. That there is nothing that you cannot do. That with you where things seem impossible, that with your love, with your faithfulness, all things are possible. Father, we ask for your strength this morning. We ask that you would clothe us with that strength, that you would pull us into your presence, that we would never lose sight of you, that we would just be more and more convinced of your love working itself out in our lives. So, Father, lead us from our brokenness. Lead us to your security. Encourage us in our faith. Convict us with that certainty. Father, build us up this morning, we pray. Build us up by your Spirit and set us free for your purposes. Clothed in strength, may we go out into this world to speak more of your love. Clothed in strength, may we go out into this world and fulfill your purposes. May we bring a bit of your kingdom each and every moment of each and every moment of each day. May we usher in your kingdom, not in our strength, Lord, but in yours. Build us up, we pray.